All right, welcome back to it. Yeah, it's the reality tour, all right. Otto, no fault. And a guy we've got to know over the last few years, John Kornack, the president of the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, CPAN president. That's the folks that are trying to protect Otto, no fault. John, welcome back. Good to see you here.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, I'm trying.
Well, you're doing your best, and I do want to say thank you to the folks at Special Tree Rehabilitation here in Troy for having us here today. It's been fabulous. Jim has done a great job here. Really appreciate it. But this is one of 30 locations for this company, 750 employees. He checked the census yesterday. He was at just over 400 patients, almost exclusively auto accident victims. They've got a couple of workers' comp people, but yeah, mostly auto accident victims. And I said to Jim, I said, what's going to happen to these folks? He goes, we don't know.
Yeah, no one really knows. That's the hard part with this bill. When they wrote it, they had no idea where it was going. And when they signed it, they definitely didn't know where the heck it was going. And so a facility like this is an amazing facility, by the way. Special Tree does a great job. They're a competitor of mine, but to be honest with you, that's why I don't like them. They're too good. And so they've been an amazing provider in the community forever, even longer than Eisenhower Center. Built out of passion, but it's sad that those 750 employees who put their heart and soul into it, the family that put their heart and soul into it.
Their future completely up in the air.
Completely in the air.
And not just the employees and the people that are going to lose jobs. And we've already heard of people losing jobs because they see the writing on the wall, if you will. Either losing their jobs or saying, you know what, I'm going to go do something else, move out of state, do different things. But it's the patients that have been using these facilities as a result of the catastrophic care fund that's been there for years, and the payments are going to be dropped by 45%. So their futures, it's not just the folks that get injured after July of 2020.
No, it's not.
It's people right now.
Right. This is 400 of the 16,000 that are going to be harmed by this bill.
Right.
And so there will be 400 coming out of this center alone. There will be 168 coming out of my center. And to be honest with you, all of their futures are in the air. And I know the insurance industry says, well, you know, the other states deal with this. No, they don't. That's the problem. The state of Michigan is unique. What I love about this system is we pay for this system. It's not the public pays for this system.
It's insurance.
We pay for our own insurance.
Right.
It's a self-insured deal.
And here's my problem with it. I've been paying into this system since about 1982.
Right.
Best guess. And so I've paid in however many thousands of dollars over many years because I've often had more than one vehicle, and you pay by vehicle. And if I get injured today, all of that money I paid in means nothing.
It's all gone.
Means nothing.
Yeah. But there's still the $24 billion in the fund.
I understand that.
That's what makes you crazy. It's like I put a lot of that money in there, and now if I get injured catastrophically, I get nothing out of it. The law doesn't make any sense. We could have come to a better understanding amongst the two major industries, healthcare and insurance. And
the last time I saw you, though, there were almost 5,000 people walking down Michigan Avenue to the steps of the state capitol. I was blown away by the number of people that had turned out and supported, and all the blue shirts as far as you could see, and everything that was going on. There is a groundswell, I believe, a grassroots effort in this state. And you see, you can feel
there
it.
There is.
People are saying, wait a second. Now that they're hearing what the truth is, they're like, that's not what I bargained for. I thought I was going to save money. It was going to be a great deal. The fact of the matter is they save a few nickels, and it's not a great deal.
It's not at all. I mean, we haven't saved anything. In fact, our bill has gone up. A lot of that has to do that they want to take it up so they can bring it down later. Looks a lot better if you increase the price of something right before you drop it. Looks like it's a bigger drop.
It's on sale. No,
yeah,
not exactly.
I think we already paid for that a few times. I mean, even the $220 per car didn't have to go up this year. They padded the bottom line. They sure did.
So let me ask you something. I know you still have conversations with the governor. I know you still talk to lawmakers in Lansing. Is there any movement? Is there any feeling that, gosh, maybe we didn't do this right?
Yeah, there's not a movement yet, but there are a lot of feelings. So the people are starting to understand. When we had our town hall last night, one of the representatives who actually voted against this bill, with the governor, is saying, what did I do? And I said, well,
voted for the bill?
Yeah.
And they were there.
Uh-huh. And he was there just to really understand what really occurred. And he's termed out. So what he's doing is he brought another person running for the office, a Republican, And he said, you need to come to this type of meeting to really know what's happening to No Fault in the State of Michigan. So when you have your opinion, it's not based on a 130-page document they give you at 1:30 at night. You know, it's about knowledge of what No Fault was really about. So he's feeling some remorse for what he's done. But again, they don't want to move on it yet. No one's ready to take that first step.
Well, I think that's the importance of what we're doing here. I mean, we're out talking to people and real people. And the lady I had on yesterday, whose daughter, Jennifer, hurt 8 years ago at the age of 25, permanently disabled from the neck down, paralyzed. And she's like, it'll bankrupt me. I don't know what to do. And she's already covered under this allegedly for life. And she's going to lose everything because the thing about 56 hours for a family member to take care of somebody, all sorts of provisions that, how does that even make sense?
It doesn't. The revisions in this SB1 doesn't make any sense. It didn't at the onset. What happens are people write these legislations. They don't know the outcome. They don't know the collateral damage. And in this case, the collateral damage, because it's healthcare, are people. And it's hospitals and it's ER rooms and Trauma 1 and Trauma 2 centers, you know?
Sure.
We're going to lose Trauma 1 centers.
Yeah, I mean, we did a whole story I read on Great Lakes News about Hurley Medical Center in danger of losing their Level 1 Trauma Center and all sorts of other programs that serve that community because of the incredible financial hit they're going to take.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hurley, you know, Hurley is the last hope for a lot of folks in Flint.
In that area, sure.
And, you know, and Flint's already gone through a little bit. You may recall a little water problem they had there.
A bit of difficulty.
Yeah, and so now we're taking them through the grinder again, while people like GM and Ford are talking about shutting plants. So it's, you know, the healthcare field kept Michigan strong, and we're proud of that, especially around 2000, 2008, 2009. We went through a recession, and healthcare was one of the strong industries. And what I really want to do is let people know that places like Hurley help keep Flint afloat, and now we've changed that.
We're with John Kornack, the president of the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, and CPAN president. We're going to take a quick break, a couple of final thoughts right after this, because there's another public meeting tonight I'd like to talk to you about.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Rich Studley, President and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. For 60 years, the Chamber has been your voice in Lansing, fighting for pro-business, pro-taxpayer, pro-jobs legislation. It's been our commitment to work with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in Lansing to create an environment that allows businesses to grow and to create a strong and thriving economy. We are member-driven and policy-focused. The Michigan Chamber represents over 6,000 companies of all sizes and types in all 83 of Michigan's counties. Michigan Chamber members employ over 1 million Michigan residents. That's why we're focused on the mission of promoting conditions favorable to job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Introducing a